Welcome inside episode 678 of the Locked On Senators podcast. I'm Ross Levitan on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, alongside Brandon Piller up in the Blue Mountains. And if you didn't stay up for last night's game, I don't blame you. The result was exactly what you would have expected, 4-1 for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Well, let's turn our attention to some prospects then, Ross. And we got a great one on today's show. It's Oscar Pettersson.
He even gives us a little tease at what's to come in the 2023 draft. But if you're not ready for that, there's still lots of great stuff about how his season is going over in Sweden. This is the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.
Your Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators Podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators Podcast.
Thank you for making Locked On Senators your first listen on this Thursday, November 24th. The show is free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube, where the best way you can help the show grow is subscribe to the Locked On Senators channel and leave a comment below. What's keeping you interested in this team? I want to know because I need ideas for myself. Of course, there's individual pieces that we've loved the whole way through, but as a team, they stink, Pilsy.
Whew. Yeah, they stink. It is like the stink is ruminating here. Like, we can't get away from it. Scented candles, Febreze, windows open, doors open. Nothing is getting this stink out of the room for the Ottawa Senators. And yeah.
What's worse, the Sens or my hair?
Yeah, you guys know it's been a rough one when it's a hat day for both of us. And Ross, our friend Ali Dez on YouTube is going to be very disappointed with that welcome, as there was only one W in that one. But that's where we're at right now.
I almost took out the W at all because I haven't seen a win for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, just welcome. Yeah.
Welcome.
Whole lot of L's.
Welcome to Locked On Senators, where the W is optional.
I wish it was optional. It seems like it's not available for whatever reason.
Can't wait for tomorrow, the battle for last place in the National Hockey League, the Anaheim Ducks, who just got their first regulation win of the season. That's where we're on par with right now as the Ottawa Senators. And I don't even know what needs to change right away. I know an option that would certainly send a jolt through the organization, but I don't know if it's a quick fix, because if we look at it from a standpoint where you're just like checking in on the Sens, if you didn't know the record at all, like if Ottawa had a 10-8-1 record, let's say, like just around 500, whatever it is, that was a good game last night.
Yep.
For the most part. They outshot their opposition at 5-on-5. They took a couple bad penalties. They didn't finish their opportunities, and they lost. But you can handle that on the road in Vegas against a very good team every once in a while. But when it's every night, like they took away any margin for error when they lost to San Jose on Monday. So, I mean, probably before that too, but on this trip. So the locker room, the vibe, I'm sure, is just awful right now. The bench looked defeated. DJ Smith said, I don't know what happened. The other goalie just made a lot of saves. Okay, cool. Cool, dude. There's eight teams with the worst shooting percentage in the NHL. And that doesn't count. What did Ottawa score in the home opener? 7 goals on 28 shots or something?
Yep.
I don't know. All the teams below them in shooting percentage have more wins.
I mean, that's not a hard bar to hop over if you're a team in the NHL here. And this is where the Ottawa Senators are at. It is so soon for them to be at this point. I thought we were going to get a couple more weeks of optimism, Ross, but it's fully down the tubes here. And you're right. They have been playing decent hockey. So as a coach, that's got to be frustrating. And DJ Smith is running out of things to say to the media. But we're running out of things to say, too.
So comedy always helps. I don't even know what show this is.
Yeah, we're laughing. I pull it up and I'll clue in here. Yeah, that's dead on for Martian. I'm blanking on the name. It's a skit show on Netflix. But essentially, the guy is driving a hot dog car, and he drives the hot dog car into a suit store. And they're trying to figure out who did this. And I mean, it's pretty obvious the guy in the hot dog costume is driving the hot dog car here.
Yeah, very tough. Attaboy, Martian. Creativity this early.
I think it's time for you to leave is the show title, I believe.
Thank you. So we are right now recording like 7.5 hours after the postcast.
Hence the hats.
The late night, early morning combo is so much easier when you're coming off wins.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if we know what that feels like, really. I had so much hope going into this season.
So did I, yeah. And Ross, it wasn't even hope because it felt like such a sure thing that this team was no longer going to be in the bottom. I'll put the bar at the bottom five of the league. Like, it wasn't hope because it wasn't like it felt like they were down bad and they needed to reach for something. It felt like they had made that step in the offseason. And clearly this team hasn't. Like you mentioned, all you need to do is check out that video of the bench at the end of the game. Like, dejected looks, stares. Timmy is having a self-monologue to himself, probably in German. That's how serious he is.
Self-monologue to himself.
Yeah, you got it. That's where it's at. And yeah, he's probably swearing in German. Was ist los? Ah, scheiße. Probably a lot of stuff going on in his head. So I don't know where this team goes from here. Because really, this game up against the Anaheim Ducks should have been a scheduled win, not a let's just see if we can survive up against the worst team in the league here.
What like, team?
Yeah, hardly. The last three games, Ross, they've been outscored 14-3. Three goals in your last three games, and one of them is a guy's first career goal that is one of the sloppiest goals I've ever seen. DeBrincat misses the net by a mile, and Sanderson throws it on net, and it gets deflected by a Golden Knight and goes in. Like, there's no confidence. There's no feeling of self-assurance that they can get this done. And I don't blame them. They haven't been able to get it done. And it seems like no matter what they do, they just cannot come up with an end result that ends up in wins.
So in their last 10 games, they have two wins. Okay? They're 2-7-1 in their last 10 games. But in four of them, they've put more than 40 shots on goal. And they've outshot their opposition in almost every single game. The Devils won aside, of course, on the Saturday. Other than that, the Philly game, they got outshot. They won it. And the New Jersey overtime loss. Every other game, they've outshot their opponents, but they're 2-7-1 in their last 10 games.
Yeah, and they've been seeing backup goaltenders nonetheless. Like, yeah. I mean, Logan Thompson, not a backup goalie, but
if Leonard was healthy, he would be.
You would think, yeah. So this is...
We don't hear Vegas talking about how their season's ruined because of an injury in goal to a star. No. Yep. They battle through. They're able to pro-scout their way out of it. They're able to bring guys in. Their entire duo makes the same amount as Cam Talbot.
Yeah.
And they're both putting up 9-10, 9-20 save percentages. And Cam Talbot can't make a big save at a right time. I didn't love the second one, and I really didn't like the third either. Nice backhand, but like...
I mean, the second one, that's the William Carrier one, right? Like,
yeah,
you're not putting that one on Talbot.
No. You probably want to see Nick Holden and Lassie stand the blue line a little bit better. But tough night for Lassie in the second half. I thought in the first half of the game, like, I thought he made some nice plays. He was moving the puck quick, doing what he could, even put a few shots on goal.
He still had a good game. It's just tough when two of the goals, you're the guy front and center. Like, If you look at his advanced analytics, he had a nice game. I have a couple notes of him making great defensive plays. Like, he broke up a 2-on-1 and carried it up the ice the other way. Like, he did have a decent game.
Yeah, kind of a sloppy play on the 2-on-1 offensively, though, by Vegas. They kind of just, like, put it on a tee for him.
Hey, he still was able to break it up. Like,
it's not how.
I'm not taking anything away from good defensive plays when we see them from this team.
So when DJ Smith wakes up and he sees the Ottawa Senators had 49 hits, he's going to love that, hey?
Sure.
I mean, at this point, that's the type of victory I think this coaching staff, not rightfully, but I think that's probably what they're going to point to. Goalie just made some saves. We worked hard. Look how many hits we had. I don't know. I'm Groundhog Day right now, man.
Yeah, like at this point, Ross, like I mentioned, my emotional attachment is fading, and I'm viewing these games more as a broadcaster rather than a fan, and I'm starting to just laugh at how bad this team is. Like, and it's funny too, because Jesse Granger, writer for The Athletic, he posted the heat charts or whatever, and he was like, damn, the Senators are doing really well here. Like, this team is really piling it on. And that it's a joke, because other teams see our record and the Sens are coming in, should be an easy W, and then they're like, whoa, this team actually has some firepower in the first period, and then it's an easy win from then on out. Although this second period was much better than the one up against the San Jose Sharks, but
low bar. Low bar seems to be kind of what we're dealing with right now. And you knew the game was going to be over when they were losing after the second period.
Yeah, it's officially done at that point. Like, they might as well do what they do in House League Hockey, Ross, and just keep the clock running. Like, let's get everybody home. Let's get people to the postcast a little sooner. Let's get everybody to bed. Beat the Vegas traffic. Get back on the strip. Let's just move this along here.
Vegas is 10-1 when leading after two periods. Ottawa 0-9-1 when trailing after two periods. And can we just take a moment and put two and two together? The Sens have been trailing after two periods in 10 of their 19 games. More than half.
That's not surprising. I mean, they can't score, so they're going to be trailing in these games.
They can't score. They can't get timely saves. And they can't not shoot themselves in the foot. That's a triangle of doom right there.
Yeah, it's the momentum stuff, Ross. Like we talked about a couple episodes ago. Like, there's just no way this team can string together enough good plays while holding the opposition off that's going to result in a win. We've seen it time and time again. And they may have glimmers of hope, like that Sanderson goal. That's a great momentum goal. First career NHL goal on the power play at the end of a period. You're going in to the frame, winning 1-1, and it all falls apart.
Well, we always hear about that in the NFL, right? It's halftime adjustments. Like, what adjustments are you going to make? Is that the issue in this team? Is that Bruce Cassidy, a known winner in Vegas' locker room, is like, hey, I saw that first period. Here's what we can do to be better throughout the rest of the game, or take opportunities and make the most of them. Whereas DJ probably goes in and goes, yeah, we're playing hard. Way to go, 17. Keep it up. Like, there is no number 17 if you're scoring at home.
Yeah, I don't know. Clearly, there's nothing.
He sounds so, like, all you have to do is listen to DJ's post-game availability. That's a dead man walking.
And, I mean, just check out his time on mic. After every game, his time on mic is going down and down and down. You talk about time on ice. Let me see some time on mic stats here for DJ
Our
Smith.
Time on mic stats are disgusting.
Yeah, we're playing Thomas Chabot levels here.
yes we are. What do you say we chat with Oscar Pettersson, and then we'll wrap up today's show? I don't know, what do you want?
Okay, I was gonna say, where are you going with this? We need to take a look at a stat from Ian Mendez's article, so we'll tease with that. But yes, let's keep things moving along here.
You know what to do though after a Sens game goes wrong, especially if you're feeling blue. You head to one of Shawarma Palace's 9 locations. Today's episode is brought to you by Shawarma Palace. Shawarma Palace is the best spot in Ottawa for food. Like, I've now just concisely figured out the way to say it. You will not get a better meal in Ottawa than Shawarma Palace. Any of their 9 locations, you're never too far away from one. And now, exclusive to Uber Eats. So you can only order them from Uber Eats unless you plan on heading in to their store, whether it's in Orleans, Bank and Gladstone, Rideau Street, my favorite. That's where you might run into us, eh, Jack? You never know who you're going to see at Shawarma Palace, but one thing is consistent there, and that's the quality of food you're going to get and the portion size. I love when people tweet out their first Shawarma Palace platter, because they're like, holy, it's like the Mitch Hedberg joke where he's like, I get the New York sandwich all the time, man. They're like,
Club sandwich.
No, that's a different joke. He goes,
oh, okay.
He goes, I get the New York deli sandwich. They're like, yeah, can I get you anything else? Yeah, a loaf of bread and some other people, because you got to share when you get the Shawarma Palace platter, because that is a meal for royalty, and you can get it at Shawarma Palace or on Uber Eats. And go check them out on Instagram as well. Shawarma Palace Ottawa, Shawarma underscore Palace on Twitter. With their new partnership with Uber Eats, 30% off. That's basically buy one, get one. Unbelievable prices at Shawarma Palace. And that's just the cherry on top, or should I say, the extra garlic on top of your Shawarma Palace. Sen's game days taste better with Shawarma Palace, but that's not all. Sen's sorrows taste better with Shawarma Palace. Visit them at any of their 9 Ottawa locations. It's Shawarma Palace. Eat like royalty among friends at Shawarma Palace.
And this episode is also brought to you by our friends over at betonline.ag. Ross, they've been getting the better of us with our clinging emotions to the Ottawa Senators, but you've pivoted.
Yes, I have. And ties are like aces wild in FIFA World Cup. So hop on while you still can. $2 on every single game to end in a tie. Feel the excitement. It's FIFA on BetOnline.
Absolutely. And hey, that's why we love BetOnline, Ross. It's not just Ottawa Senators hockey. They got everything. They got basketball. They got football. They got World Cup soccer, golf, UFC, boxing, whatever you like. They got it there. And Ross, I've even got a parlay for the people. And the key to my parlay is I go to betonline.net to find all the latest odds, news, scores, player performance, props, overs, unders, whatever you want. They got it there. So I am pivoting from betting on the Ottawa Senators. That is not a winning strategy clearly here. So I have had some luck in football betting. So what I'm going to do is I'm betting the New York Giants spread up against the Dallas Cowboys, plus 10 spread. That's a lot of numbers. And the Dallas Cowboys are 1-10 in their last Thanksgiving games up against the spread. So I like those numbers. 1-10.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it really does, eh? And you get a plus 10 with the Giants, who aren't a bad team. And then I'm parlaying that with the Pats and Vikings. The under is set at 42. The Patriots only had 3 points all game last game until they got a punt return kick touchdown. And then the Vikings only had 3 points last game as well. So these teams cannot score. So I'm putting those two together. New York Giants spread the under in the Pats Vikings game. Put 10 bucks in. You're going to win 26-26. I like the sound of that. And you're going to do it at the trusted online sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's betonline.net, where the game starts.
Just before we get to our conversation with Oscar Pettersson, Pistol Pete, I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to all of our American listeners. Hope you're enjoying some turkey, the stuffing, extra mashed potatoes. And pro tip, but I mean, everyone's got to know this. Take your mashed potatoes, take the bottom of your spoon, give a little swoosh, and then you get the gravy boat. Do you do that, Pills?
Oh, yeah, you got to do it. And Ross, since you set this up, I gotta do it. It's my favorite. Happy Thanksgiving to all our Americans out there, or as we in Canada like to call it, Thursday.
It is Thursday, but you know what?
That's the classic Jay Onwright Sports Center joke, so I had to throw that one out there.
There you go. Shout out your internship way back in the day. So, no, all good down south. Hopefully, we like to see everyone celebrating, eating turkey, sitting on the couch. And I think we're kind of turkeys, though, for buying in the way we did ahead of this season.
Gobble, gobble. We just ate that offseason up.
The hope is eternal, though. And with that, let's get to a Senators prospect who's been tearing up the Swedish junior ranks. He's got 15 goals in 19 games. Add another 10 assists on that. It's Oscar Pettersson. And if you missed it in the summer, that's where we get into his upbringing, how he got into hockey and all that. We're just checking in with an official friend of the show. So here's Sens prospect, Oscar Pettersson. All right, we now welcome a very special guest back to Locked On Senators. It's third round pick from the 2022 NHL entry draft, Oscar Pettersson. Oscar, welcome back to the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Fun to be back.
Yeah, so we're talking to you from Sweden, and you've been playing hockey over in Sweden. How are things going for you lately here, Oscar?
No, things are going very good lately, actually. was on the national team for 2 weeks ago now, I think. So it was the last tournament before the World Juniors there. And then after that, heading home and been playing some more up with the men's team, both in CHL and SHL. So things are going great.
So you told us in the summer you love to score goals. How about 15 in 19 games at the J20? I bet those goalies are pretty happy to see you up with the SHL team a little more, hey?
Yeah, the pucks have went in so far. Of course, you always try to score a little bit more. I want that goal per game. I've been striving for that for a long time. But I'm happy with the scoring so far.
And I was talking, we have the account, I think you followed as well, Sens Prospects, where he keeps an eye on all you guys. And he told me, he's like, your first goal in your last junior game was a deflection in front of the net. And he said, that's one of the first times you're not just gripping it and putting it past goalies. And then sure enough, later in the game, right at the top of the faceoff dot, you're able to find back of the net. How does your game change, if at all, when you're playing against juniors versus when you have to go up against the men in the SHL?
Of course, especially now in the beginning, when I'm up in the SHL, I haven't played that much. I think I've played a total of like 20 minutes, something like that. It's a little bit of an adjustment period right now to get comfortable and everything. So obviously I try to play a little bit more easier there and earning the trust from the coaches. So not try and do too many dangles and stuff like that. So I would say up with the men's team, I play a little bit more easier. And down when I play in the J20, I play a little bit more with the puck, being creative and in the OSO and those type of things. But I think that part will also come when I have played some more games up in the SHL and feeling more and more comfortable.
How awesome is it for you to get a chance to play up in the SHL? I mean, you've been in the Rogla system for quite a while, and now you're finally getting your chance to have some decent minutes for a prospect in the SHL. What's that been like for you just personally?
It's a dream come true for sure. I'm a kid who grew up with hockey and always been watching the SHL. For us here in Sweden, we watch more SHL than NHL because of the time and so on. And especially now with the situation in Russia, I think the SHL is probably the second best league in the whole world, I would say. So it's just great to get the opportunity to play against great players, play against players that you've been watching on TV and so on. So, yeah, just a dream come true.
Pilsy, guess who the leading scorer is on Rogla right now?
Oscar Pettersson?
No, one day he will. Former Belleville Senator Adam Tambellini. Have you talked to him about playing in the Sens organization?
No, not that much, I think. I think
you'll have to ask him about Belleville. He played with Belleville while we worked for the team. He was a good player here, for sure.
Yeah. I would say that he's one of the best goal scorers in the whole Europe right now. He's been crazy good the last seasons here in Rögle. He's a great player, great guy too. I think he mentioned for me that he has played in Belleville this summer. So I knew that, but we haven't been talking more about it.
That's awesome. Hey, while we're talking about the Sens for a second, how often, if at all, are the development staff, whether it's Jesse Winchester or Sean Donovan, have they reached out to you at all once your season, or are they kind of hands off letting you do your thing?
No, we have a great contact. I usually speak to them almost once a week, I would say, something around that. So we talk, they giving me some feedback, and so on, and just checking up so everything's is okay and so on. And then also have contact with Jeremy, the strength coach. I have much contact with Shelly. We're working very much together with my skating, since I mentioned for you guys that that's a part of my game that I really want to develop to take that next step. So we also had good contact. And then I met Trent last weekend. He was in Örebro with some of the other scouts. So we also spoke with each other and so on. So I have great contact with them, and yeah, it feels great to get some feedback from them too, and also know what they want me to work some extra on and so on.
So what kind of feedback are they giving you? Like what's one example of something that you've spoken with the developmental staff and they've got you working on?
Yeah, so I mentioned my skating has okay. been the biggest part that that both me and them want me to keep improving in. Been taking some very good steps there. But now, especially in the SHL, I can really feel that those first steps is very important to be able to separate you from the other players and so on. So that's the biggest area to work on right now.
So I'm still trying to figure out how the European system works. You mentioned you play some Champions Hockey League games, SHL, J20, and recently you wore the Trey Kroner with the Junior International tournament there. Is that just kind of a round robin, a tune-up for what the World Junior Camp will be? What was the reason for that international event?
Yeah, exactly. So we have some meetings with the national team during the season. Before those bigger tournaments. So like last year when I played under 18 Worlds, we had like three different tournaments before that. So that's kind of the system in Sweden in every age group. Like often you have a bigger tournament in the end of the season. And then you have some smaller tournaments to play with each other before that. And now since the World Juniors is during the Christmas, we had one tournament early of the season. I think it was the first games of the season in Finland. And now we had the second tournament here in Austria, in Ostrava, Czech, for 2 weeks ago. So that was the last tournament with each other before they're making the cut and deciding the team.
Nice. Speaking of Swedish hockey, big moment for Swedish hockey in the Hockey Hall of Fame this year as three Swedes get in. Daniel Alfredsson, the greatest Ottawa center of all time, and then both the Sedin twins. What kind of buzz does that create for the country of Sweden, and how does that affect young guys like yourself seeing players from your home country ultimately getting the biggest honor in getting into the Hockey Hall of Fame?
They almost doubled their yeah. entire – three before or four before, and now they added three this year. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't get that as I can imagine it is in Canada with all the hype into hockey. I mean, the football is bigger here still. Okay. So maybe I think it deserves some more media time, the hockey and those type of things. But for sure, you can read about it and so on. And especially for the guys that really follows the hockey and are into hockey, it's still big for us.
100%. Well, Oscar, we appreciate your time. It's been a great start to the season. So the way you mentioned it, it almost seems like that last international tournament was a selection training camp in a way. Like for Team Canada, they all get together at the start of December and they'll have like a 2 week, almost like an NHL training camp, and then make cuts like that. For this, are the next you're going to hear, is it whether or not you're on the team, or is there going to be another camp?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I know some years they've been cutting it off with like two guys or something like that. But the last year, I think that the guys who got the selection, yeah, they played the tournament. So that's what I know. Yeah.
So, well, we're hoping to see you on that roster. Do you think you have a good shot? I know you're a year younger. There's a lot of the older guys there, but the way you've been playing, do you think based on who's at your position that we could see you in Halifax?
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard to know. Always up to the coaches, but at least I have the feeling that I couldn't do much more than I have done in those games that I've been playing. Been playing with in the same line actually for the two tournaments also, and the whole line we have played with a great chemistry. So I just at least have that feeling that I did what I could do, and now I just gotta wait and see if that was enough. And if it's not, I just gotta take the chance next year.
Who's on the line that you're playing with?
It's me, Leo Carlson, the top prospect coming up, and Philip Bystedt.
So tell me about this Leo Carlson kid, because we just hear about him. I've heard he's almost like Matt Sundin, just a big centerman, can weave in. What's your scouting report now, having played with him?
First of all, his hockey sense is crazy good. He's always finding you with the most unbelievable passes. It's just, for me as a goal scorer, it's just great just having the stick on the ice when I play with him and be ready to rip the puck. But also, as you say, he has the size. He's not afraid to do the dirty work too, and playing physical. Good skater. Yeah, I think he has pretty much all of the tools. So he's an unbelievable player.
Well, hey, you guys are putting good chemistry together. As you had 5 points in those four games internationally, and we already talked about how many goals you're putting past Tendies in the junior ranks. We hope to see it with the Team Sweden at the World Juniors, but either way, keep having a great year, man. We're going to keep track with you, and now you're a friend of the show, so you have to come on anytime we ask. So we'll do this again soon, all right, Oscar?
Yeah, sounds great, boys.
You are Locked On Senators. Stick taps to Oscar Pettersson for joining us. Really great conversation with him. I enjoy his outlook on how he just loves to score goals. Pilsy, my biggest takeaway there, how about him saying, yeah, my goal is I want to be a goal per game guy.
That's a great goal to have. I love it. And yeah, I think it's looking real good that he's going to make that Swedish World Junior team. Like, when you're on a line with Carlson and Bystedt is the other guy he's on a line with.
Bystedt. We did a draft profile on him. You can go find that on our YouTube page.
Yep, San Jose Sharks pick. Like, you don't just get put in that spot randomly and coincidentally. And when you're putting up points like they were, feels like he's going to be in there. Like, it's all, like, I don't want to directly make this comparison, but it's almost like Chris Kunitz knew he was making those Olympic teams when he's clicking with Sidney Crosby. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's a good spot to be in. I'm not saying Pettersson is Chris Kunitz. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you have yourself in a position beside one of the best players, things are looking good.
100%. And he told us that due to injuries, it looks like he's going to get a chance to play real minutes today in the SHL with the time change. I wonder if the games already happened. Because he's been the extra forward, and he was telling us how, like, the way it works there is once you get to 100 minutes in the SHL, you get some type of contract, seniority type thing. So I'm curious if that's kind of a background part of why these kids always play 4 or 5 minutes a game.
That was eye-opening for us, Ross? Like, that was really like, okay, that's something we didn't understand that is starting to make a little more sense now.
100%. So that game hasn't happened yet, but we'll be the first to let you know about it tomorrow on Locked On Senators. All right, Pilsy, give me this stat. Is it good, bad? Am I going to go pull my hair out? What do you got?
Ross, it's the Ottawa Senators. It's bad, obviously. My prop bet for last night's game, Eric Branson, anytime goal scorer. I figured he was due. And look, I thought Branson played a good game, and I thought he's been good lately, but Ross, this is tough. So in Ian Mendez's article, he talked about the longest goal droughts in Sens history. Do you want to take a guess at where how many consecutive games Eric Branstrom has played without a goal?
He's probably on Matt Karkner level right now.
Okay, you're dead on with that, but give me a number. This is trivia. I'm not letting you off that easy.
140 games.
No, that's a lot, but you're in the right territory here.
He's probably only played about how many NHL games has Eric Branstrom played? This will help me out.
I don't have that off the top of my head. If I had to guess, I'd say around 150, though.
Branstrom, let's see. Your guess is 150. Okay, I'm gonna say 175 NHL games. Let's see. 135. Played 135 NHL games. We know he has two goals. We know they were like a week apart. Okay, I'm gonna go 110.
No. 94 consecutive games without a goal for Eric Brandstrom. The Ottawa Senators' record is Shane Knighty with 115, then Brian Lee with 98. When you're have a stat where you're in between Brian Lee and Eric Greiba, that's not where you want to be, and that's where Eric Brandstrom is right now.
And those are like heavy hitting defensive defensemen. I was under the impression that he was an offensive defenseman.
And that's the thing. Like, I do. It's the classic sense. Like, the process is there. I've liked Brandy's game. He had a couple good plays. He's playing better defensively. I thought him and Zeus made a nice pair.
Postcast, those blocks, and then to stay out there on the PK and get the clear. Like, yeah, you nailed it. Like, there's great process, but the results are just eye opening. And stop me if you've heard this before. This is a results based business, allegedly.
Like 94 games without a goal?
And one of his two NHL goals is from center ice.
It's crazy.
Did Mendez mention that he's never scored in front of a crowd?
No, I don't think he had that on analytics, his, I don't think that was on his little chart there. But yeah, just wanted to add a little bit of negativity to the podcast.
Oh, thanks so much. Was this in his notebook then? Further on Branny, he's never scored in front of
It was on the notebook.
NHL crowd. Yes. Nice. Unfortunate. The good news is the Senators have a number one defenseman for years to come. Jake Sanderson is elite.
Yeah, let's let that positivity shine. Sure, the goal isn't exactly how you draw it up as a kid in Montana playing hockey on the rinks outdoors, but it's a goal nonetheless. Results-based business. We'll take that result. But he's been playing so well, and everyone can see it. Like, his teammates know, like, and he's not even 20 games into his career, and he's already so smooth out there. He's able to make smart plays. Very rarely is he caught in a bad spot. Like Sanderson, for you people that went to betonline.ag and got in your Sanderson Calder trophy bets, Ross Levitan, that's looking good right now. So,
yeah, Beniers had 3 points last night, though. Dang it.
Yeah, and then Thompson is also looking good. So, tough competition.
Goalie. I thought you meant Tage Thompson, but no, Logan, who we just saw last night.
Yes, correct.
Well, way to bring some positivity there at the end. No, what is really cool, though, is that Jake Sanderson's dad was in Vegas, able to be there for his first NHL goal. So, love that. Love a lot of the pieces on this team still. It's just mind-boggling that they can't get it done, which leads me to the common denominator. And we'll just point you in the direction of the postcast where we talk after each and every game about what's going on. I wonder if Brent won't have a problem with me saying, I won't share the screen, but this is the most sicko you can get. I get a DM after the postcast last night, 2 a.m. Eastern. Quote, might be becoming a Sen sicko. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, just getting into hockey through ESPN Plus out-of-market coverage. I tried several clubs' podcasts and love y'all's. Thank you. Just made it through a West Coast game postcast. What is wrong with me? Shout out Brent for sticking with it. I told him. I said, that was your initiation, making it through a Western postcast. And it can't get any worse than this. It just can't.
He's getting in at the bottom floor and
basement.
Yeah, he's in the parking lot right now. So enjoy the ride, Brent. Enjoy
the sewers underneath. Like, you know how
we're in the sewers?
You need the grates, right? For all the water on the tires and everything in the basement parking lot. You gotta drain it down there somewhere.
Yeah, we're just down there with the ducks splashing around in the sewage.
Don't forget your violin, though. We're still playing the music, buddy. You and me, pal.
That's not the noise a violin makes. Just for clarity's sake.
A little Beethoven, eh? Just to get the juices flowing.
Oh boy,
Hilsey, do you have any final thoughts as we head into the game of the year? No longer is it must win. Now we've got game of the year: Anaheim, Ottawa. 32nd place is on the line.
And you know what the worst thing is? The Sens will win this game, probably.
I'm down.
Yeah, I'm also down just because it would be nice to see a win and to see some smiles in Sens land. But yeah, this is a weird one. A matinee game up against the Ducks. Again, Ross, I will just ask for the same thing. I will be thankful if the Ottawa Senators can string two unanswered goals. Like, that is all I want right now. Like, just give me an ounce of belief that this team can get it done. So that's my Thanksgiving wish.
I mean, they didn't do it for you yesterday.
They did not. Or the day before, or the game before, or the game before that.
Yeah, outshot, what'd you say, 14-3 in their last three games?
Outscored 14-3, yes.
Yeah. Tough. I like this tweet. We'll end off with Steve on Sens, friend of the show. They're an unlucky team that rolls over and dies when they're down. Frustrating to watch.
Can we end on a positive note? I know it's just Thursday in Thanksgiving, or in Canada, but top Thanksgiving dish. What do you got?
Morocco Croatia tie to win me plus 850.
Okay.
No, it's 100% the mashed potatoes that I mentioned. You get the gravy boat in there, and then you dip the turkey inside the gravy there, in the volcano.
Yep.
And then kind of like push it against the side so you get a bit of mash. And then the gravy starts dripping down, and then you have to reinforce your fort. Kind of like a defensive zone in hockey, except it's porous in the
Ottawa. Simply safe for your mashed potatoes?
Pretty much. But yeah, nice. Mashed potatoes. You know what else I'm a big fan of? It's like a carrot souffle. Big fan of that. Or broccoli souffle. Anything with a little souffle to it, you know, that'll get me going as a side.
Nice try. All wrong answers, though. Stuffing. It's stuffing. The stuffing is the best. Why can't we have stuffing more often than just Thanksgiving? That's what I want to know.
What are you gonna? Else are you gonna put it on? Anything? Like, would you
anything.
Put it in pasta? Yeah.
No, not pasta.
Instead of grating Parmesan cheese, Pilsy just takes a hand and rubs it all over.
I feel like it can go with, like, roast beef. It can go with pork chops. Why not?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
It can go with Sens loss.
Yeah, stuffing with the Sens loss. Hell yeah.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving to all of our American friends. We appreciate you. We had 115 people at the same time watching the postcast last night, and it was 2:00 in the morning. Yeah. That's unbelievable passion.
We really do appreciate that because not going to lie, it was hard rolling off the couch to do the postcast last night and being like, what are we going to get into? How are we going to do this? But the people's passion is right there. So that keeps us going. And even if we got to wake up hours later and have a double hat performance and no W's for the welcome, we're still here. We're still grinding. So thank you guys for following along.
100%. And one day, the odds are in the Senators' favor of this thing turning around one way or another. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Right? Yeah. Doesn't feel that way right now. But tomorrow will be a measuring stick game. The only problem is we're measuring how low the sand goes at the bottom of the ocean. But it is a measuring stick game. When you're playing a team right next to you in the standings, whether it's 32nd or first, that's a measuring stick game.
Sure. Yeah, let's pump it up that way. The measuring stick game.
You're listening to Locked On Senators. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan, and this has been the Locked On Senators podcast. After a 4-1 loss to Vegas tomorrow, note the start time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, and 2 p.m. for me. So we'll talk tomorrow morning. We're going to record nice and early, get you the podcast by noon latest Eastern, and then we'll have the postcast. And I feel like this is going to be a postcast that's going to get off the rails. About 5 p.m. on a Friday, I feel like this is off the rails territory.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those where, as our good friend Drake says, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. I think that's where things are going to be at with us.
For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.